church's job is to remind Christians of their kingdom keys so that we are kingdom citizens, making kingdom votes.
Dr. Tony Evans says Christians have a duty to help redeem and sustain our society.
You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. We should be leveraging influence.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The Constitution says government can't institute religion, but nowhere does it say religion is to be outlawed. Today, Dr. Evans points out that God established government to act on His behalf in promoting good and limiting evil. And as Christians, we have a part in helping make that happen. Let's join him as he explains.
Politics can be a trap. It can bring division. It can bring conflict as people argue back and forth which way to go. But what we're calling on Christians to do is to become kingdom voters. A kingdom voter is a Christian, a serious Christian, who accepts the responsibility and takes advantage of the opportunity to participate and partner with God to expand His rule in society through civil government. We have argued that if you're going to be a kingdom voter, then you must be a kingdom independent voter. In other words, you cannot give full allegiance to any earthly party because no earthly party represents the kingdom of God, and your ultimate commitment is to that kingdom. The biblical role of civil government is to maintain a safe, just, righteous, and compassionately responsible environment for freedom to flourish. That's what you vote for, because God created government. You leave God out of government, and it becomes something other than what it was created to be. Just like when you leave Him out of your life, your family, and any other aspect of your existence. We're like an alarm clock or a red light. We say, hold it. Hold it, Democrats. Hold it, Republicans. You're right here, but you're wrong there. God has spoken and He has not stuttered. But because we've got such a low view of God and the levees have broken, they have broken. God told them in 2 Chronicles 15, verses 3 to 6, because you left me out, your culture is in conflict. And until you get back to me, your culture will never find peace. That's what it says. It says, there will be no peace until I'm on the front page. I do not want to be in the editorial section, including in the church that does not vote for me. This is collective Christianity. To promote me, my system, my rules, my laws. Now I hear what some people are saying. I can hear you saying, wait a minute. You say, that was in the Old Testament. The temple controlled all of life. We're not the temple today. Oh yeah, we are. Yes, we are. Guess why? Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, He says in verses 21 to 23 that the powers that be are subject to the church, and Jesus is over all things, and He's been given to the church. And then He says in chapter 2, He comes to the close of the chapter, and in chapter 2, He makes it clear. He says, and you are the temple of the living God. The church is the temple. He says, you're the temple of God. So there is a temple in the New Testament. And it affects all of life. There's no part of life. There's no policy. There's no view of taxes. There's no view of immigration. There's no view of globalization. There's no view of war that's not covered in Scripture. But we're so lazy, unfortunately. We're so secular. And we don't want to take the time to find that out. Now, we'll go to school and find out everything else, but we don't want to take the time to find out, okay, you say, but I don't know what the Bible says. Well, you don't know algebra till you go to school and learn it. Well, I don't know what the Bible says. Well, you don't know macroeconomics unless you go study it. Well, I don't know what the Bible says about this and that. Okay, find somebody who can teach you. Go learn it so you know how to vote or argue political positions from a bibliocentric, theocentric, Christocentric worldview. It's time that Christians stop apologizing and start taking a biblical stand on all issues and all matters, so that God's standard and God's glory comes back to the temple. It's been removed by the kings, by our politics. And so the church is critical. Freedom of religion is critical. That's why he tells us to pray for peace for the church. He tells Timothy, the pastor of the church at Ephesus, 1 Timothy 2:2, you pray so that you are free. You're released to do what the church is designed to do. So anything that hints at holding the church hostage should be resisted, rejected. Why? You should not be made to abandon your conscience because of your faith, to abandon the word of God because of political expediency by any party, either party, because the church is unique. And the church exists for the kingdom. That's what Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and 19, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give the church the keys to the kingdom of heaven. It means I'll give you authority. You know, when the ref throws out the flag, they may be outnumbered, but they got authority. They got authority from the kingdom in New York. Why? Because they represent the kingdom in New York on the playing field. So they got the whistle, they got the yellow flag, and they can level some influence. Where's our influence? How can we have all these churches on all these corners with all these programs, all these ministries, all these ministers, all these buildings, all this activity, and still have all this mess? Why? Because we aren't the church. We're religious gatherings. You know, what good is a sports team with brand new uniforms, a brand new stadium, and they keep losing? Well, what good is a sports team? Everything new. They done spent a lot of money to build a complex, and all they do is lose. What good is a church with brand new pews, nice choir robes, exciting programs, but we keep losing? We don't see our impact. We don't see our influence. We don't see lives being changed. We don't see communities being upgraded. We don't see economic justice, racial justice. We don't see the things that the church should be influencing society taking place, but we're getting our praise on. We're waving our hands in the air like we just don't care. We say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, preacher, pastor. But we keep losing. That means something is wrong. We're not being the church. We're being a social agency with a little Jesus sprinkled on top. No, God is calling us to a new level. God says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, he checks with the church before he deals with the principalities and powers. Did you get that? He sees what the church is up to before he decides what he's going to do with the powers and the culture. We're spending all our time on the White House. We better get this house straight, our house straight. Judgment starts in the household of God. It starts with our decisions and our positions based on the word of God. I love Ezekiel chapter 47. We won't go through it, but when you read the first 12 verses, he says there was water in God's house and it began to flow. Now, water is the life-giving substance, okay? It says the water in God's house began to flow. And then the water in God's house, when it began to flow, began to rise. And as the water flowed in God's house and began to rise, it flowed outside of God's house into the street. And when it flowed outside of God's house into the street, it flowed into the community. That's how God meant it to be. God meant that the life-giving essence that comes from him flows to the church, then flows through the church, out into the streets, out into the community, out into the racial divide, social divide, political divide. It begins to flow from the sanctuary. And then there was life-giving in the community because it flowed from the church. The greatest illustration of biblical Christianity in the history of America was the black church in slavery. Because when there were no government grants, no federal programs, no cultural support, it not only hewed out a religious order, it hewed out schools, social service agencies, newspapers, colleges, banks. It did all of that from the temple when the government was resisting it. Now, if God was able to do that through the black church that had no governmental, limited government support, was being resisted in every way, and God entered the temple of that restricted entity and still built a society that was being politicized against in every possible way. What do you think that God in heaven can do today if he can ever get the church to be salt and light? Not for the church. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. We should be leveraging influence.
Dr. Evans will have more on being a positive influence for our world when he returns in just a moment. You know, there's a lot at stake in the coming elections, far too much to boil down to just a choice between political parties and platforms. In Dr. Evans' book and brand new Bible study, Kingdom Politics, he explores the biblical principles that can help us make godly decisions on election day. Understanding and making those wise choices is an ability every believer should possess, which is why we're making the Kingdom Politics package available as our gift when you make a donation toward Tony's ministry. Along with the book and Bible study, you'll also receive access to special video streaming content from Dr. Evans, as well as the full-length audio versions of all 10 lessons in his current series, Returning God to Government. You can get them on CDs or downloadable MP3s. The choice is yours. But this offer is only good for a limited time, so I encourage you to request it right away. You can do that at TonyEvans.org or by calling our resource request line at 1-800-800-3222. That's online at TonyEvans.org. or by phone at 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that contact information for you after part two of today's lesson and this.
Are you looking to embark on a unique spiritual journey? This fall, you can cruise the Mexican Riviera with Dr. Tony Evans and set your sails towards faith. Renew your soul amidst the waves when you explore Cabo San Lucas, Mazatlan, and Puerto Vallarta. Join the Evans family from November 9th through the 16th for a journey of renewal and exploration. Book your adventure today at TonyEvans.org. Enjoy and explore.
When the Dallas Cowboys play, they play on Sunday, but they influence the atmosphere on Monday. People talk about them. Win or lose, we're going to talk about them. We're going to discuss them around the water cooler. We're going to plan for what's happening next week. We make meals around when they're going to be playing. We decide whether we're going to have company or not. But in other words, they not only play on Sunday, they inform the atmosphere all week long. Why? Because that's our team if you live in Dallas. In fact, for many people, if you live in America, since it's called America's Team. But the point is it influences the environment. If the church is not influencing the environment, it's not being the church. You're gathering and you're not doing, we're not doing what we've been called to do, because we've made church members, but we haven't made disciples. Men and women who are not secret agent Christians, but public displayers of the glory of God, and who take it to the marketplace and take it to the voting booth. And do it without being ashamed, because you represent another king and another kingdom. Does that mean everybody will vote the same? No, but everybody should be voting with the same worldview as a kingdom independent, because they're a kingdom voter, because they're a kingdom disciple functioning as a kingdom citizen. Yep, it's all kingdomized because the church exists to promote the kingdom. I was in New York at the Marriott Hotel, and I checked out. And I flew to Chicago, where I went into the Hilton Hotel. went up to the 30th floor or something downtown Chicago, and I put my key in the lock, red light. I put my key back in the lock, red light. So I'm a little bit flustered. It's the dead of winter. It's cold outside. Got my luggage, and the key doesn't work. I go back downstairs, and I say, excuse me, this key does not work. Person at the registration desk said, I guess not, sir. That key doesn't go to this hotel. See, I hadn't thrown away my Marriott key from New York and was trying to use a Marriott key in a Hilton lock, and that key won't work because the Hilton is a different kingdom than the Marriott. See, what we got is we got kingdom citizens using false keys, political keys, Democratic keys, Republican keys, and wonder why those keys aren't working. Wonder why we're not seeing change, why we're not overriding evil laws or evil people who make evil laws. Why are we doing that? Because we're using the wrong key. We're using the key from the old kingdom, not the kingdom of God and his Christ that's been handed to every Christian through the church. Church's job is to remind Christians of their kingdom keys so that we are kingdom citizens making kingdom votes. I've been chaplain for the Cowboys for many years. For 5 years under Tom Landry, I came back and did it a few years ago before my son Jonathan took my place as chaplain of the Cowboys. But back in the Tom Landry days, when I was a lot younger, with a lot more energy, before the official workout, I would go out and work out with the team. So I'd catch passes from Roger Staubach and Danny White, along with the players before we did the chapel. I'd go running routes. I was out there participating. So I got to know some of the plays. One of the plays was a simple fly pattern. Now, for you non-football people, a fly pattern is where the wide receiver just speeds and runs straight down the field in order for the quarterback to throw a long pass so that he could catch it and score a touchdown in one play. In other words, the fly pattern wasn't trying to get a bunch of first downs. They were trying to go for the big thing in one play. That's why the receivers had to be speedy, because they had to try to outrun that guy covering them so that the quarterback could throw him the ball and he could catch the ball in one play. Now, the problem with that play is it takes just a teensy bit longer to unravel because the guy's got to get downfield. Sometimes the other team would blitz the play. Now, for you non-football player, a blitz is where the linebacker for the other team or defensive back shoots in to try to tackle the quarterback before he has a chance to throw the fly pattern, the long pass, down the field. Well, one of the plays I learned was when they called the fly pattern, they would also call a waggle. Now, a waggle was where the running back peeled off to the side just in case the quarterback got in trouble and was not able to throw the long ball down the field because he didn't have time due to the blitz that came from the other side that was trying to tackle him. So he didn't have time to throw it down, so he would turn to the side and toss it to the halfback, because the halfback waggled or moved over to the side as a safety plan. Now, when he threw the ball to the halfback was still trying to score a touchdown, but he became an option because the original play could not work. God called a touchdown pass to Israel. He said, Israel, you're going to be my kingdom agency, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to throw the kingdom to you. You are to catch the ball and bring in the kingdom of Jesus Christ and his rule on earth. The problem was Satan blitzed the play. Satan got into the backfield in order to stop the program of God, and they got Jesus Christ to crucify him on Good Friday. But what they didn't realize was there was a waggle in the play. God had created an option. The option was the church. He said, even though Israel has rejected me, I'm still going to have another receiver. I'm going to build my church, and they're going to waggle off to the side. So even though Israel cannot receive the ball because of satanic blitz, I've got another group I'm tossing the ball to, the Church of the Living God. And I want them to grab the kingdom and still score a touchdown for the rule of God, the glory of God, the greatness of God, the exaltation of Jesus Christ, the building of the disciples, and the influence in society, including influence on government. You and I have been given the kingdom ball. And the key when you have that ball is not drop it, not fumble it, and not hand it to the other team. Now, in order to be used in the kingdom, you have to be part of the kingdom. And to be part of the kingdom, you've got to become a Christian. And you have to do that by coming to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and for the free gift. It's free, the free gift of eternal life. He promises to give that gift to anyone who comes to him for it by faith. That is, you trust Jesus Christ as your personal substitute. He died on the cross for your sin in your place. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to enter your life, forgive you of your sins, start your life all over again, and then use you until he takes you to heaven. He wants to do all that. But you have to come to him to receive it. Would you come to him? You simply, by an act of faith, say, Lord Jesus, I need a Savior because I am a sinner. He only saves sinners. So you've got to acknowledge your sinfulness before a holy God. And if you will place faith alone in Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins, he will wipe your slate clean, start your life all over again, and then take you to the next level of living. Would you do that right now? Would you go to him in a simple prayer? You just got to mean it for yourself. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I choose you to be that Savior. I entrust my eternal destiny to you. And then, if you're already a Christian, then would you renew your commitment to Christ? That's what communion does. It's a renewal time. It's where you're telling God, God, yep, I'm not going to be a Democrat first, a Republican first. I may talk about it, but I'm not going to let them trick me, trap me into leaving God out. That's where you take your stand. Let the Lord know that that's how you're going to live your life, at work, at play, in your community, in your relationships, that you belong to another kingdom and you submit to another king. Jesus died for you and me to own us, not just be in us. Can he own you? Even when it comes to your vote.
Dr. Tony Evans with an important question on where we place our true allegiance. Now, before we wrap up, I want to remind you that today's message is part of Tony's current series, Returning God to Government, a practical look at how God's kingdom agenda ought to shape the decisions we'll be making on Election Day. We're offering the complete 10-part collection on CD or digital download as our thank you gift when you make a contribution to help us keep Dr. Evans' teaching on this station. And as I mentioned earlier, it'll come your way bundled with a copy of his book and brand-new Bible study with video streaming content, Kingdom Politics. It's the perfect package of resources to review on your own or to share with your small group before going to the polls in November. Don't wait. Get the details right now at tonyevans.org or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222, where members of our resource team are standing by to help you day and night. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Do politics and religion mix? Perhaps the better question is, how do they mix? Dr. Evans says one of the main problems we face today is that we've allowed politics or the kingdom of man to dictate to the kingdom of God. Be sure to join him tomorrow as he takes a look at what we need to do to rectify that mistake. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.